Hello and welcome back to another episode of Blush. I'm your host, Tiva, and we have a fun, action-packed, fun-filled episode for you. I'm just kidding, it's none of those things, but hopefully it'll be informative. So, if you have not listened to last week's episode, you may want to listen to it before you listen to this one, although, frankly, you don't have to. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I mean, not me demanding how you live your life. It can stand alone, but it is kind of intended as a two-parter because last week I really went all about, like, what am I saying? Last week, I really did a deep dive into the nervous system. So what the nervous system is, the various nervous system states, how it intersects with attachment theory, and why you need to regulate your nervous system. This week, we're going to talk about how to regulate your nervous system. Now, could you listen to this week without listening to last week? Sure, of course you can. Like, you don't have to, you know, hear why you need to, like, if you're already sold, you're like, bitch, I know I want to fucking regulate my nervous system. Like, I don't need to hear you blabbering on about the polyvagal ladder. By all means, let's fuck it up this week. But if you need a little more context, then go listen to last week. Okay, that's that on that. Let's do word of the week real quick before we get into the content, and then we're gonna go. Oh, I don't have one. Great. I forgot to write one down. Let's see what word of the day is right now. Okay, this is fucked up, guys. Ooh, okay. One website is traipse, which is quite literally one of my favorite words ever. It means to walk or go aimlessly or idly without ever finding or reaching one's goal. Traipsing around town is one of my favorite activities. God, what I used to love when I was younger is like getting high in a new city and like in it just being a sunny, beautiful day and then just traipsing around town. Like, one of my favorite memories was I came up to New York once with my brother for a work thing, and one afternoon we like finished what we were doing and we smoked a joint, and it was I'm really blowing up my brother's spot here. Sorry. Me, my brother, and two of his friends. And we just fucking like wandered around New York City high as shit. It was sunny. It was pretty. We had some like fun drinks. And I don't even mean alcoholic drinks. I mean like an aloe juice. Do you guys remember or have you ever had that aloe juice that comes in kind of a square bottle? And by that, I mean like it's not, you know, like most bottles are curved. Like, you know what I mean? Like, most bottles are cylindrical. That's what I mean. It like really looks like I'm giving a handy if you're watching on video. Most bottles are cylindrical, but this one's like, it's, I don't fucking know. It's a box. It's a box. Like, it's rectangular. Like, the edges, you know what I'm trying to say, right? I feel like I'm losing my mind. It's such a basic concept, but I can't explain it. Anyway, that quote-unquote aloe juice, like, it actually turns out that it was mostly grape juice and had chunks in it, and it's really sweet. Yeah, the chunks were, like, literally grape chunks. Like, I don't even think there's any aloe in that shit, but I remember I had that for the first time, and it was so good, and it was just such a fun day. Like, what a core memory that I remember. Anyway, Oh, traipse. Okay, we're not going to have that be the word, though, because that's too basic of a word. And I know that most weeks my word of the week is actually not, you know, that hard or whatever. But whatever. That one I think everyone will know. Okay, word of the day on Merriam-Webster today is a word that I literally don't know how to pronounce. Oh, there's instructions here. Okay, it's spelled H-I-R-S-U-T. It's apparently pronounced hirsute. Hirsute. Hirsute is a formal word that means hairy. What is a formal word? Like, what, like, are the rest of the words informal? Like, who makes the determination of if it's a formal word or an informal? Like, formal to who? Formal to what? Like, does that mean, like, to the queen, you'd be like, hey, instead of being like, I'm a hairy ass bitch, you'd be like, I'm hirsute-y. Like, what? Like, what is a formal word? Okay, anyway, it means hairy. It is also often used in humorous contexts to describe someone with a lot of hair on their face or body. I mean, if the shoe fits, it fits, you know? Botanists use her suit to describe plant parts such as leaves that are covered in coarse, stiff hairs. Okay, I'd like to see it used in a sentence. Okay, here's a little excerpt. Although the word isn't until the end of the excerpt, but whatever. Outfielder Reggie Jackson, as the story goes, arrived for his spring training with a mustache. A few pitchers followed suit, thinking they all would need to shave. Instead, then A's owner, Charlie Finley, offered a $300 bonus to any player who grew a mustache. The result, a World Series between the Hirsute A's, okay, A's I guess is the name of the team, and Clean Cut Reds, was dubbed the Hairs versus the Squares. Okay, that's actually from an article written in 2022. Well written too. I was fucking it up. I need it used in a sentence again, because that's not really helpful. And I'd like to use this word. I have a lot of use for this word. Like, a bitch is hairy, okay? She's Middle Eastern. I have hair for days. Okay. Here's another. Maggie gaped at the tiny thing roaming blindly around Fee's bare skin in search of more hirsute territory. Then she began to weep. What? He'd better be careful with those hirsute adornments and a cabin with a plank floor. What the fuck is going on here? Frighteningly hirsute, a single black eyebrow spanned his protruding forehead. Okay. So I think what I'm taking away from this is I could just say, like, I'm a hirsute kind of girly. Right? Like, why not? Right? I think, I don't know. Anyway, so that's our word for the week, or word of the week, I should say. And now let's move right along into the nervous system and how to regulate the nervous system. Now, I was going to read a list of symptoms of nervous system dysregulation, but quite frankly, I don't have a list on hand, so I'm not going to do that. Maybe I can find. No, I don't. I wish I had access to my course, the Blush Academy course, right now on my phone, but I don't. So that's not on that. So let's just move right along into why to regulate the nervous system, or how to regulate the nervous system. Last week we covered why to regulate it, and this week we're going to cover how to regulate it. And really, the way that we regulate the nervous system really falls into two categories, in my opinion. And that is the distinction between proactive things and reactive things. Now, proactive things are things that we do to increase our capacity. It's to strengthen our nervous system. It's to expand our capacity to hold things. So when you regulate your nervous system, one of the things that happens is you could experience the same volume of stressors as you did previously, but you won't be stressed by them anymore, because stress is kind of a subjective experience. What is stressful to one person isn't stressful to another person, and what's stressful for you today might not be stressful for you tomorrow, especially if you do the Blush Academy nervous system course, you know, wink, wink. The way that I wish that I could wink, like, it is one of the things that I don't talk about often, but I think about at least 3 to 5 times. Like, it is my Roman Empire, my desire to be able to wink. Like, the way that I would fuck shit up if I could wink. Like, honestly, it's probably good that I can't wink, because I think I would do it a lot, like, to the point where I think people would be like, it's really kind of bordering on sexual harassment. Like, like, you can't just say fucked up shit and wink all the time. Like, that's not gonna fly. It's one of the true devastations of my life. Now, when I say that I can't wink, I should say I can close one eye and see out of the other, but it doesn't look like winking, and it's really fucking far from being sexy. Now, you're going to want to be on video for this. This is my idea. This is the closest thing I can do to winking. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, bitch, both of your eyes are closed. But no, this one is open. You just can't really see that it's open. But it is open. Like, I can see shit. But it's not cute, nor is it sexy. Anyway. So, yeah. Really regulating the nervous system. A lot of it is about just increasing our capacity. It's strengthening your body. It's strengthening your mind. It's strengthening your spirit so that you can face more, you can deal with more and not lose it. So that's what a lot of our goal is. And now proactive tools, a lot of proactive tools. Well, there's different types of proactive tools, but proactive tools are things that you do when things are fine to just increase your capacity. Reactive tools are things that you do when you're already dysregulated, when you're already in a stress state to get back to balance. And we're going to talk about a lot of different types of both proactive and reactive tools, and it's really important that we engage in both. And what I'm going to talk about first are really a series of proactive tools, and there are different areas of your life that you want to think about and look at and optimize them so you can really regulate your nervous system. And then I'm going to talk more about the reactive tools. So number one in the proactive tools is nutrition. And this should really come as no shock to anyone that I'm going to hammer home on nutrition, given that I have an entire Instagram account devoted to food. Like, I'm very, very, very into nutrition. And I grew up in the type of household where I'd be like, Mom, I'm scared. And she'd be like, your B vitamin levels are probably low. Like, you need to increase the amount of like B vitamins that you're getting in because that's why you're feeling scared. Like, that's the type of like anything that was wrong, she could like trace it back to like a vitamin, mineral, or like nutritional deficiency. And I'm there's some merit to that. There's some not merit to that because things are also cyclical. And the thing with the diet and nutrition is like there's so much bio-individuality. Like, our unique bodies really need different things. So it's really hard to give like kind of a blanket catch-all, like this is what everyone should be eating type of thing. It really does depend on. In the nervous system course, I broke it down into four dysregulation archetypes. So there's a quiz. I'll actually put the link for the quiz in the show notes if I remember. If not, like DM me or reach out to me to get it. But there's a quiz that you can take that'll tell you your predominant stress response. So it's the predominant way that you respond when you're stressed and triggered and things like that. And depending on your dysregulation archetype, as I call it, there are different things that you should be doing. There are different practices that you should be doing. There are different exercises that you should be doing. There are different ways that you should be eating. Now, really, ultimately, it's much more individualized than that. But just working with a volume of people, the best we can get it is into these general archetypes. It's kind of like similar to an Ayurveda. There's doshas or, you know, personality profiling or Enneagram types, right? The truth is, like, it's a lot more complex than that. And we all have different elements of these things within us at different levels. Yeah, right? Like, we all are all nine Enneagrams. It's just the levels vary at any given time. Same shit here. We all have all of the stress responses. It's just that we tend to predominate towards one at any given point in time. And the nice thing about the quiz is it'll actually give you percentages of each one. So you kind of know where to primarily look at, but where to secondarily look at and things like that. But as far as nutrition, I do think that there are some kind of universal truths. And the number one universal truth, honestly, is that we are not eating enough fiber. Full stop, case closed. Like, we are not eating enough fiber. In fact, I think it's like 80 to 90% of Americans are not getting enough fiber in their diets. But honestly, I think worldwide, by and large, our fiber intake is so low. And the reason that it matters, I mean, it matters for so many reasons, but really, like, A, fiber feeds the beneficial bacteria in your gut, Without fiber, you're not going to have a good gut microbiome. And that matters because the feel-good chemicals that regulate our brain are produced in the gut. And so if you're not feeding those that good gut bacteria, you're not going to be getting those benefits. So it's really, really important to feed those. On top of that, fiber keeps things moving. So if you're kind of constipation prone, et cetera, like you fucking need fiber, but also fiber, specifically soluble fiber, binds with toxins and excess hormones and things like that and helps your body pass them. So a lot of modern health problems actually can really be traced back to a lack of fiber. Like one of the things, there's someone you should look into, Karen Hurd, because she really does a ton of research into this and speaks about it very eloquently. But she basically had a baby that was about to die from like a very rare type of poisoning, and no doctors, no one on the face of the planet could figure out how to heal her. And she did a ton of independent research and finally figured out that the missing key was soluble fiber. And so she started feeding this child like beans or some shit, like this infant beans around the clock. And what happened is the soluble fiber from the beans were binding with the toxin that was in her system and pulling it out of her body. The child is now a grown-ass fucking adult, married, just had her own kid. They had given her like 6 months to live max. She's alive and well and kicking. A lot of hormonal issues can actually go back to a lack of fiber because we have an excess amount of hormones that are circulating through our bodies, through the bile, because we're recycling the same bile because we're not getting enough fiber. But when you eat soluble fiber, it's going to bind with that bile that has all the excess toxins in it. You're going to poop it out. And then the next time you eat something fatty, you produce a brand new batch of bile that is then clean. So fiber really is the missing link. Like I feel like I could talk for the next 4 days straight about fiber and I would not have said enough. Like we are not eating enough fiber. The only thing I will say, if like you're listening to this and you're getting motivated and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna eat some fucking fiber, don't just go from 0 to 100. Like that's not going to do you any favors. And also I actually really, really advocate against any sort of fiber supplement. I really advocate for getting it through your foods, in particular the foods that I think are really great at increasing your fiber. And like chia seeds are great. Whole grains are great. But I think fresh fruits that are really water rich are really, really great because you're also getting that hydration in a form that is going to penetrate your cells. Whereas if you just take a fiber supplement or even if you just have chia seeds or something like that, chia seeds that aren't soaked, I don't generally advocate because you need the hydration along with the fiber for it to be really effective. So I would reach for just tons and tons of whole, raw, fresh produce. Like a cucumber. I mean, a cucumber is great for hydration, maybe not so much for fiber, but like a cantaloupe. I just forgot the word, like completely blanked on it. Cantaloupe, fucking sick. It's amazing. Cantaloupe is one of the best things out there. It's so filled with fiber, but it's also so filled with water. Like it's the perfect fucking combo. But yeah, in conclusion on nutrition, because I do want to move on to other things. Otherwise, we're going to be here like literally till next week. This is going to be a never ending podcast. Like I'm just going to have to eat on mic, shower on mic. I guess I'm not sleeping anymore. No, I do want to move on, but like nutrition really is bio-individual. Now there's certain tenets that apply, like use common sense. Like you know what's good for you and you know what's not good for you. And I think that we question what's good for us because we've heard so many shocking diets over the years and then have people touting, well, like, I lost so much weight, like, just eating bacon grease all the time and no fruits or vegetables, right? So, like, we're, and it also sounds appealing. I remember the first time I heard of the Atkins diet, I was like, yeah, let's fuck it up, bitch. Like, guess who does, who loves hot dogs? Guess who loves hamburgers? Like, let's fucking go. You're telling me I can do this and lose weight? Let's go. That sounds great, right? But that's not the end all be all, and it's also not sustainable. Whereas regulating your nervous system is actually a really sustainable way of losing body fat and having it not come back. So yeah, eat an abundance of things that are good for you. You know why raw fruits and vegetables are so fucking beautiful? Because they're meant to be eaten. That's why. They look vibrant because they are vibrant. Like, our brain sees them and we associate them with health and wellness because they are associated with health and wellness. So eat minimal things that come out of a package. Eat as many raw fruits and vegetables as you can and as you're ready for. I mean, going full on like that, if you're coming from a standard American diet, you're going to get extremely sick because your gut can't handle it yet. So go low and go slow. But you know the drill, guys. And if you want like a little more personalized, I do recommend taking the nervous system dysregulation archetype quiz and seeing what your archetype is. And then in the nervous system course, there's more detailed nutritional advice for those things. And also hit me up. Like, I love talking about these things. And also look at my recipes. My recipes are designed to regulate your nervous system. Like, that is truly what they're for. They're for giving you glowing skin, for a flatter stomach, better body composition, more energy, being just happier, less stressed, less anxious, less depressed, all of those wonderful things. Okay, let's move right along. And I want to touch on sleep. I'm not going to go too deep into sleep because, again, like, I could talk about sleep until tomorrow morning. Like, I did an entire podcast episode on sleep. Like, it's a very layered and very difficult thing. I just want to emphasize how fucking important good sleep is. Like, getting good sleep affects your mood, it affects your body weight, it affects all of the decisions that you make, it affects how you show up at your job, how you show up at school, how well you perform, both physically and mentally, and quite frankly, emotionally. Like, it's really fucking important. And I'm not going to go through all of the things that affect sleep because, again, I've done an entire episode on it. You can go and listen. It came out, I want to say, in either March or April of 2022. So, right? Yeah. So you can go check that out. But a few things I want to talk about. Number one, we fall asleep when our body temperature drops 1 degrees. Now, you can use that to your advantage. One of the things that could help is just having a cooler room that you go to sleep in. Another thing that can help is taking a hot shower or doing a sauna or something before bed, because you're going to get hot. But then when you get out, your body temperature is going to keep dropping from that experience of having just been hot. And it is that dropping of the body temperature that actually puts you to sleep. It's also when our body temperature rises that wakes us up. That's the literal thing that wakes you up. It's the rise in your body temperature. So, you know, if you want to sleep alarmless, you could hack your AC or your heat or whatever to automatically turn up like an hour before you want to wake up, because then as your space gets hotter, you're going to automatically wake up. It's actually like fascinating. So having a space that you go to sleep in where you're not hot is going to tremendously help you go to sleep easier. You know, thinking back on it, when I was in Australia for a month in February, beginning of this year, my sleep was an absolute fucking disaster and I couldn't figure out why, other than like I wasn't taking gummies and stuff like that. But I've not taken gummies before and not had, like, the previous year when I was in Australia, I didn't have that issue. And then I realized the previous year when I was in Australia, we had an AC, or we didn't have an AC, but we slept, we were right on the beach, like right on the water, and we slept with the doors open. So there was a good breeze. Whereas this past year, we were staying with Ozzy's family and there was no AC, and we were a little bit further from the beach. So even with the windows open, there wasn't quite as much of a breeze. And so I was just hot all the time. That's why I couldn't sleep. So that's like the biggest thing. Another thing that's really, really helped me is taping my mouth shut. I know it sounds fucking crazy and I'm not going to go deep into it, but it's really fucking helped me. But if you want more on sleep, go check out that episode. It's called like 13 ways to optimize your sleep or something like that. Go check out that episode. And then there's more stuff in the Blush Academy nervous system course too, but definitely go check out that episode, 'cause I talk about all the different things that affect it, like eating too late, blue light, you name it, right? Okay, let's move on. What else do we want to talk about? Okay. Let's talk about digestion and bowel movements, because this is incredibly important. Now, with bowel regularity, has this interesting cyclical relationship with nervous system regulation. And that's kind of true for sleep too, but it's actually very true for sleep too. So it's both the same thing, right? So if you're not pooping or if you're not sleeping, it's gonna dysregulate your nervous system. Like, you're not gonna be in a safe and social ventral vagal nervous system state if you're not sleeping or not pooping. It's gonna physiologically throw you off from that. But then being in a more sympathetic nervous system state is also gonna make it really hard to sleep and to poop, because your body is literally, your brain is telling your body, this isn't a priority right now. We don't need to sleep. We don't need to poop. Like, there is a threat to our life, and that's what we need to face right now and not be doing these other things, right? So then you don't sleep and you don't poop. And then that in turn makes you even more stressed. And so even more, your body's sending the signal that we don't need these things. And it's just a cycle. It just fucking keeps going, right? So it's really, really hard to break out of. But the thing is, addressing some of these things can then, like, you're gonna have to stop the cycle somewhere. And the way that I stop the cycle is by, like, for example, with me, right? I have had lifelong constipation. I started being constipated when I was weaned off of breast milk. And I always thought that the reason I started being constipated when I was weaned off of breast milk was because there was something in breast milk that was helping me go. And here's the thing, breast milk is like pure magic. It's liquid gold, yada, yada, yada. But I actually don't think that's it. I think the reason that I started getting constipated when I was weaned off of breast milk is because breast milk is an incredible co-regulation. Breastfeeding is an incredible co-regulation tactic, right? I was never bottle fed. Like, my mom never pumped. I only drank straight from her tit. And so when you're breastfeeding, you're held by your mother, you're, you know, warm, you're nurtured, you're protected, you feel safe. When you no longer have that connection, and like, keep in mind, I grew up in a very like chaotic and, you know, somewhat abusive household where like I had a very angry dad who was yelling and screaming a lot. And I witnessed a lot of types of abuse and stuff. I didn't have a feeling of safety, you know, like I was in a war zone pretty much. So as soon as I was off of the tit, it makes sense that my body's like, oof, not the time to be pooping, girl. Not the time to be pooping. Like, we just need to stay alive out here. We're just trying to dodge grenades, you know? So, yeah. So for me, that's where my constipation started. And then when I was 18, I started taking laxatives very regularly. I started with I eventually graduated to Dulcolax. You know, if you know, you know. If you don't know, I recommend you never find out. So what happens is you become extremely dependent on laxatives if you take them long enough. So I just kind of completely lost the ability to poop on my own. It got to the point where I was taking like At some point, honestly, I think I was taking like 30 to 40 laxatives a night. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, it's actually wild to think about. And then a few years ago, 5-6 years ago, I got off of the laxatives, but I started taking MAG07, which is a brand of magnesium oxide, which is a formulation of magnesium that essentially is a laxative. Like, it just, you just fucking explode out. And so for the past 5-6 years, I've been taking that consistently up until like, what is it, a month ago at this point? Not even that long, but it's been a long process of me getting here, because it was really last year where I was like, okay, I think I'm emotionally, physically ready to quit this magnesium and have natural poops. And it's been a long buildup up until then and just figuring it out. But a lot of it was nervous system stuff. And the thing is, I held off on putting out this nervous system course until I could have a natural poop, because that to me was going to be the indicator that I'd regulated my nervous system enough to be able to naturally poop. So if you're someone who struggles with sleep or struggles with constipation, what I want to say is, like, you should address these things specifically. Like, you should be taking more fiber, consuming more fiber, being better hydrated, things like that. You should, you know, have a cool dark room and not eat too late, and maybe even take some melatonin or whatever, but then simultaneously be addressing all of the other components to regulate your nervous system, because, like, the better you can be regulated from every other facet, the more it's going to help you in that scenario. That's a very long and roundabout way of getting there, but I hope my point's clear now. What else about digestion? Okay, so I'm going to kind of like broadly talk about how I got here, although really, like, for the details, go to the course, because, like, we don't have all day. Like, there's so much that I did that was helpful, and a lot of stuff that I did that wasn't helpful, that, like, we don't have time for me to break it down here. And it's also not applicable for everyone. But the one thing I want to talk about is, I think the most overlooked cause of constipation is actually a lack of proper hydration. And by that, I don't mean like drinking water, right? Anyone can fucking drink water. And a lot of it, like, I was always drinking water, so it actually didn't make sense to me. But the thing is, when you just drink water, it's not gonna like go and hydrate your colon. You're just kind of gonna pee it out. And the way that a lot of supplements and medications for constipation work actually is they draw water into your colon, and that's really what's going to help you poop. And just drinking water won't get there. Now, adding minerals to your water, or adding like a very mineral rich form of salt to your water, can be tremendously helpful. I recommend a Celtic sea salt for that. It's studies show that it tends to be the most mineral rich salt. I really like trace mineral drops that I add to my water. These things can help, but I don't find it to be nearly as effective as consuming a large volume of really water rich fresh produce. So things like cantaloupe, honeydew, papaya, these are fucking godsends. Another thing that I do is I'll consume the gel inside of an aloe vera leaf. So I buy a fresh aloe vera leaf. I cut off the spiky parts. I cut off the bottom and the top. Maybe I'll make like a reel or a TikTok of how I do this. And I cut out the flesh and I just eat that gel. One thing you want to avoid is the aloe latex, which is right inside of the leaf, and it has a very bitter element to it. It's actually a very strong laxative, but the problem is that it can be really habit forming. So I advocate avoiding it unless you want to become dependent on it. But yeah, that gel is so fucking hydrating. It's so good. But yeah, look at other forms of really hydrating that colon, like putting chia seeds in water until it forms a gel, and consuming that will really pull the water into your colon. So you're not just peeing out your water constantly, but you're actually allowing it to penetrate your cells and hydrate your colon so that then your colon can work. So I think that's probably the most overlooked element of constipation. Like, we talk a lot about fiber, but I don't think we talk about like true colon hydration. Other things that you can find in the nervous system course, if you struggle with this, I talk about, you know, the best foods that you can eat, the best practices. There's like massages that you can do. There's a breath work practice for constipation that's so fucking good. And there's some other like lifestyle and things. And also herbs that are good, but that are not habit forming, because a lot of herbs actually, even if they're natural, are incredibly habit forming. And I think you should truly, truly avoid them. Okay, I want to move on from this and talk a little bit about breath work. Now, breath work is really, like, I'd say the crux of the nervous system course is breath work and somatic releases. And some of the practices in the course actually combine the two. Breath work is so fucking important. And there are so many different styles of breathing that we, like our ancestors who, you know, lived in nature and lived in accordance with their nature, there are a lot of styles of breathing that they naturally would engage in that we don't do now because of the way modern society has changed and our lifestyles have changed, things like that, right? But so with breath work, we're intentionally bringing these things back. Oh, also I should talk about exercise. Exercise is really fucking important. Okay, case closed. But with exercise and with breath work, actually, I want to talk about this concept. I think it's pronounced hormesis, but I could be pronouncing it wrong, which is this idea that acutely and intentionally introducing a stressor is actually quite good for you. So if you acutely and intentionally stress yourself, then you're really treating and conditioning your body to deal with stress. So the more that you acutely, right, it shouldn't be like taking over your life, acutely and intentionally stress yourself, the more you're training yourself for how to deal with stress. Is that what I literally just said and I just repeated it? I'm fucking hungry, sorry. And forms of doing this could be exercise. I mean, think about when you exercise, you're intentionally stressing your body. Like you're putting your body in a stressed state. It's not like exercise is relaxing in the moment. I mean, maybe if you're doing like some kind of fucking like, you know, what is it, like corpse pose yoga or some shit, then yeah. But like if you're actually moving and sweating, you're sweating because you're stressed, you know. Certain types of breath work, like some of us are really afraid of really active forms of breath work. Like I'll hear people say like, oh, it just stresses me out too much, or like it makes me anxious, or like I feel like I can't breathe or whatever. Yeah, that's the intention. That's how it works. It's purposefully stressing you out, because if you can deal with that stressor, then you can deal with something big that's going to pop up unexpectedly. So you're training yourself to deal with stress. And that way, cold exposure is another form of hormesis. You're acutely and intentionally stressing yourself out. But in response to that, then A, your body is going to rebound into a more relaxed state, because when you come out of that stressor, then you get back into your parasympathetic nervous system. So your blood's going to go to all your organs. Your, you know, your body's going to be like, let's eat, let's digest, let's poop, and let's fuck and like repopulate the human population, because there was just a stressor and now we're over it. But also the next time something happens, your car breaks down, you're late for work, you stub your toe, you know, you spill your coffee all over your dress, and now you have to find something new, but you can't find something new. And, you know, your boyfriend's being a dick and your parents are being assholes and all this shit is popping up and you just want to fucking scream or run or hide and you don't know how to handle it. Your body's going to be like, actually, I deal with stress all the fucking time and I know exactly what to do. Like when you practice acutely stressing yourself, and acutely is important here, because if it's taking over your life, like it's, you're just going to go into shutdown, right? That's why, like, have you ever been through a phase of your life where you were over exercising and then that phase of your life was followed by depression? Like you're essentially in dorsal vagal. What happened is your body was like, too much, too much, too much. Like I'm too stressed. I'm going to fully shut down. That's what's going on there. But if you do it acutely at the right portions, then your body's just going to have practice. It's going to know what to do. It's going to know how to handle stress. And so in the course and in life, there are a lot of different types of breath work, but I think you can kind of categorize them, or I like to categorize them, under two main umbrellas. It's like active or restorative. And active types of breath work are the types of breath work that are intentionally stressing your body so that you're training your body to better deal with stress. And then there's restorative forms of breath work where you're actually putting your body in a parasympathetic nervous system state. And we'll talk about those more when I talk about reactive tools. But yeah, other types of proactive tools or other, you know, forms of hormesis, like intentional cold exposure, you name it. But like, to me, it's really a lot of the lifestyle factors, even spending a lot of time in nature. Spending a lot of time in nature can be proactive and reactive, because, you know, the more time that you spend in nature, the more grounded you are, the more connected you are with nature, the stronger your nervous system is going to be. But also, like, if you're stressed or anxious about something, just going in nature can really soothe you and can really calm you. Playing Tetris is actually, weirdly enough, a proactive tool. Like, there are studies that associate people who play Tetris with having a more regulated nervous system. It's fucking wild. But yeah, and then there's reactive tools. So reactive tools are things that you do when you're already dysregulated. So whether you're anxious or you're angry or you're upset or you feel stuck, whatever it is, there are different types of reactive tools. And I think in kind of, I don't want to say pop culture, but, you know, in the social media, like what's trendy right now, a lot of nervous system stuff focuses on getting you into your parasympathetic, to getting you to calm down, to ease anxiety, things like that. Oh no, I think the camera died. Okay, hold on one second. Fuck. Okay, we are back. I just popped a new battery into the camera and we're gonna pick right up, even though there isn't that much left in the episode. And of course, I can't even remember where I left off at all because, you know, I had to go change the camera battery, yada, yada. Where did I leave off? Good question. Where did I leave off? I don't know. Was I talking about breath work? I know exactly what I was talking about. So I was talking about how when you're dysregulated, you want to get regulated. A lot of us, or like a lot of what you're going to see on social media, et cetera, is focusing on getting you into your parasympathetic nervous system. So it's getting you to relax, to unwind, you know, rest and digest, yada, yada. And that is where a lot of us need to be. But if you are in a lower rung of the ladder, so going back to last week, polyvagal theory, where I talked about, you know, if you're in like a dorsal vagal, you're in a shutdown state, or even if you're in a free state, what you actually need is to mobilize more. So it's not quite as black or white as just like I think with the nervous system stuff, there's just so much focus on like the relaxing side of things, and that's well and good. But there's a lack of focus on A, the strength building, the capacity increasing side of things, and B, the fact that for some people, the reactive tool that they need is actually a more mobilizing and energizing kind of practice. And so the reactive tools in the course, or in general, I mean, I talk about the course because the course is to me literal perfection. Like, it's everything you could possibly want for the nervous system. Like, it goes so far beyond anything I've ever seen. Like, in doing research for this course, took so many other courses, and there are some that are literally like $5,000-$6,000 that are not even close to how fucking good this course is. Like, it is beyond, like, I could cry just thinking about it. Anyway, so that's why I keep referencing in the course, because in the course is basically in the world, like in the world of nervous system. There are so many different types of breath work and somatic practices and things like that to really help you regulate. And so within the reactive tools, like, let's say you're angry, what you really need first and foremost is to get rid of a lot of the energy that you're feeling, because anger is a very charged emotion. And so you can't work through anger without first getting some of the energy out. So in the course, there's a somatic practice for getting energy out, but really, like, I mean, I know people who say, like, when they're angry, they go for a run. I don't personally do that because, like, I don't fucking run. I would say I don't run unless I'm being chased, which is kind of a funny joke. But honestly, even if I was being chased, I don't think I'd run. Like, I think I'd just be like, let's fucking go. What do you want? What do you want? Let's just, I'd rather be mugged by you. No, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. Okay, guys, I'm tired. So it just really depends on where you're at. Like, if you're in a frozen or in a shutdown state, you need to mobilize more. You need gentle movement, rocking, shaking, things like that will help mobilize things. In the course, there's a specific breathwork practice for those states where it's a more energizing, more active form of breathwork, but it'll really mobilize things and get you going. And yeah, if you're like really anxious or stressed or just like overthinking and you can't shut off thoughts, then you want to do calmer forms of breathing, things with longer exhales. When you exhale for longer than you inhale, that tends to activate the parasympathetic nervous system. Another thing that's really great is like humming or singing or just kind of making noise like that. Like, noise that comes from the back of the throat activates the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve is linked to the parasympathetic nervous system. So that can be incredibly helpful. And then just like other forms of soothing, just like increasing forms of the increasing feelings of security and safety within yourself, things that bring you to the present moment. One thing I talk about in the course, it's such a dumb exercise, but if you're feeling some kind of way, pick up an object near you and describe the object as well as you can. So like, how does it feel? Like, what textures do you feel? What does it look like? Like right now I'm holding this vase, right? It feels kind of rough. Like, it's a very unfinished form of ceramic. So there's a lot of like bumps, like little micro bumps. It's kind of an off-white color, but there's black and gray specks in it. The shape has this, these like rolls or bulges. There are three of them. The bottom one is the widest. The middle one is middle. The top one's smaller. You know, it feels fragile, but it's also like a very thick form of ceramic. Like, it's not quite as fragile as like a porcelain plate or something, but it is, you know, it's more fragile. Okay, I'm not going to keep doing this because this is like really fucking boring for everyone listening. Like, no one gives a shit about this space. I do really love it though. Not me like turning this entire podcast into like a fan account for this specific vase. but you know, like something like that just really is going to interrupt the thought processes and bring you to the present moment. What else for nervous system regulation? Yeah, I think breath and movement are really the keys because we're so disconnected from them. And even think about when you, like, there are a lot of people do exercise, but I think that the ways that we exercise are so disconnected. Like, you go to the gym, you put on music, or there's loud blaring music, or you go out for a run and you, I have nothing against music, by the way, I fucking love music. But the point I'm trying to make is that when we exercise in today's society, we're constantly trying to find ways of just getting it over with, just doing it and just making it as good as we, like making it as enjoyable of a process as possible, which is great, but we're just trying to get through it. Like, we're not intentional and mindful with it. We're not connected to our bodies. We're not connected to this space. And I think that that has such a big difference. And so in the course, there's a bunch of somatic releases because I think they're so important and that it's what's missing. Like, when I look at my dog, she's constantly doing these things. Like, when she wakes up first thing in the morning, she stretches and she shakes. Like, do you know how important shaking is for our nervous systems and for trauma, for unresolved trauma, things like that? But we don't engage in these things enough. Like, we just don't. Okay, I think I'm gonna end it here because like literally all sorts of technical issues, but I just want to talk a little bit about the course. Well, okay, I'm not gonna really get into the course, but I do want to say this course is honestly my pride and joy. Like I've never been more proud of anything I've done in my entire life. And that includes like passing the bar. It includes graduating law school with honors, graduating from my MBA with honors, like it involves all of those things. Like I think it's the single best resource that exists in the world. I'm not even joking. I don't think you are going to find a person, a book, a practitioner, a class, anything in the world that comes close to how thorough and comprehensive this nervous system course is. And just it's hands-on, like it's educational, it's informative, but there's hands-on actual practices that you can do that will literally change your life. Like it'll change your physical expression, it'll change everything about how you look and feel, but most importantly, it's going to change the way you feel about yourself. It's going to change the way that you show up in your interpersonal relationships. It's going to change how much you can accomplish throughout the day. It's just going to change everything. And it's so, I mean, a lot of it is just the stuff I talked about here. What's in the course that we can't do here are the actual practices. I mean, there's hours and hours and hours of worth of guided practices that we can't do on the podcast. There's NRPs, the neural rewiring practices, there's somatic releases, there's breath work, there's combined somatic breath work. So like things where you're moving and breathing in certain ways that are gonna help you so fucking much. Like it's honestly so good. It's so good. So the link to enroll in the class is in the show notes. You can either do the Blush Academy membership where you get access to all of the courses. I recommend that if you're someone who's like dating and relationships, you like have attachment stuff, you know, those types of things. And there's also the Q&A service where there is an update every week. So you get bonus content every single week and you can ask any questions and get like timely responses. Whereas if you're not a Blush Academy member, I probably will get to your question in our monthly Q&A episodes. But with the Q&A service in the Blush Academy, you get a more timely response. Like there's a lot of one-on-one engagement, things like that. And you just get like bonus content because it is a closed community that's smaller. So there's a lot, like it's shocking that there are things that I don't share on this podcast, given that like you guys basically know what the inside of my vagina looks like at this point. But there are things that I don't actually share here, but I do share there. Or you can buy the nervous system course as a standalone course, because I think there are a lot of people who are interested in that who aren't really interested in the other stuff, which is totally fine. But however you get it, I could not recommend it enough because it's the bee's knees. It's the shit, you guys. Like it is the shit. Like it is, if you want to be that girl, if you want to be that bitch, like you want to be that quote unquote creature unlike any other, like you see some girls or guys or gays or, you know, I like the, what's that phrase? Like the girls, the gays and the theys, that's who we're after here. But really like girl, guy, whatever. You see these people who just radiate, who are like sunshine in human form. Like you're just like, how the fuck is this person so perfect? Their nervous system is regulated. That's how. And you can get there too. Okay, that's that. I'm just going to do gratefuls and then we're going to wrap up. Oh, and also if this is all really interesting to you, but you just like don't have funds right now, you can win a membership to the Blush Academy. All you have to do is enroll, take part in the monthly giveaway. So all you have to do is leave a review for the podcast. And at the end of the month, I randomly select someone who's left a review and that person wins a membership to the Blush Academy. So if you want the nervous system course and don't know how, that's how. That's how you get it. Okay. I am grateful. I'm grateful for the morning practice in the nervous system course because it's so fucking good. And like, it's beyond, like, it's when I wake up and I do that morning practice, I have the best day ever. I am grateful for the Hunger Games, and I'm grateful to my friend Alex for really pushing me to read the Hunger Games because I'm obsessed. And I'm going to watch all the movies when I'm done. I did watch the first one like way back in the day, but I don't really remember. And I'm grateful, by the way, I'm grateful for you guys. I just don't do that because the point of this is to list three new things that you're grateful for every time, because that's how it works. Like, it's the process of scanning for new things to be grateful for that is then strengthening the part of your brain that looks for the good, yada, yada. You guys know the drill. Okay, I'm grateful. Oh my God, I'm grateful. I've had the best papayas lately, like out of this world good papayas. I'm grateful for that. Okay, that's not on that. We're going to wrap up here. If you're interested in the nervous system course, the link should be in the show notes unless I forget. I don't know. I like lost my train of thought. No, if you have any questions about the nervous system course or anything with nervous system regulation or anything really in general, hit me up. You can DM me. My Instagram is at HIWAAAAAA. There are 8 A's in total, but you should find me before that, or at Blush Pod. I'm also at Blush Pod on TikTok, but don't DM me there because I don't get them. And yeah, you guys know how to get in touch with me, so you know how to do it. Okay, love you guys. Bye.